In today's news headlines, hospital beds across the United States are almost at full capacity as the number of COVID-19 patients rises precipitously. The burden is mostly borne by intensive care units, as hospital administrators warn there may be nowhere to put patients. About 10% of Americans currently live in areas where their local hospital's ICU beds are full or have only 5% capacity left. Meanwhile, a new study confirmed that the reasons for Black and Brown Americans being disproportionately impacted by the coronavirus are because of social inequities, not genetics. The research from New York University examined more than 11,000 patient records and found that social and environmental factors for people of color determines their exposure. On Tuesday, President-elect Joe Biden laid out a three-point plan for combating the virus's spread.
Masking, vaccinations, opening schools. These are the three key goals for my first 100 days. Mask up for 100 days once we take office. 100 days to make a difference. It's not a political statement, it's a patriotic act. It won't be the end of our efforts, but it's a necessary and easy beginning, an easy start. Secondly, this team will help get at the latest, at least 100 million COVID vaccine shots into the arms of the American people in the first 100 days. 100 million shots in the first 100 days.
That's President-elect Joe Biden outlining his plan for combating the pandemic. His speech was a study in contrast with President Donald Trump, who held a vaccine summit at the White House, where he lauded the fact that up to 15% of Americans had gotten infected.
That the vaccine was our goal. That was number one, because that was the way it ends. Plus, you do have an immunity. You develop immunity over a period of time. And I hear we're close to 15%. I'm hearing that. And that is terrific. That's a very powerful vaccine in itself.
That's Trump on Tuesday at his so-called vaccine summit, calling the high rate of infections in the U.S. terrific and a, quote, very powerful vaccine in itself. He spent much of his time at the podium railing against his election loss. As the U.S. Food and Drug Administration finalizes its approval of a COVID-19 vaccine produced by Pfizer in collaboration with BioNTech, the question of how to distribute it to Americans now falls to state governments. The lack of a nationalized healthcare system in the U.S. means that such large-scale efforts are nearly impossible to streamline on a nationwide basis. Vaccines are coming to the U.S. at a time of deep skepticism, even though it's the only way in which the pandemic will end with minimal loss of life. But a new Gallup poll shows that support for taking a vaccine has now inched up to 63% in the United States. Meanwhile, in the U.K., where inoculations have already begun, two people with a history of allergic reactions to vaccines have developed such reactions to the COVID-19 vaccine. The occurrence prompted the British government to warn against getting the vaccine for those who have a history of such allergies. A very small percentage of all populations have such reactions, and they fall into the category of people, such as infants and the elderly, who require the protection that mass vaccinations bring. China's vaccine has finally received formal approval from a state government, and that is the United Arab Emirates, whose authorities claimed a rate of 86% efficacy without sharing any data to support it. And poorer nations are now left scrambling to obtain vaccine supplies as wealthier nations rush to buy up stocks. As economic relief for pandemic-stricken Americans continues to stall in Congress, a bipartisan group of lawmakers from both the House and the Senate unveiled new details on the $908 billion bill that they are backing. But missing from their announcement was details on aid to states and cities, which are reeling from budget shortfalls. Senators Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and others denounced the bill in a letter saying, quote, it does not go anywhere near far enough. And in a lengthy Twitter thread, House Democrat Katie Porter of California ripped into Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell for essentially vetoing an earlier bill that had support from both parties because he wanted to protect corporations from worker lawsuits over COVID safety issues. House Representative Porter explained, quote, the same McConnell who said that President Trump is 100% within his rights to pursue baseless lawsuits alleging election fraud is now refusing to pass urgently needed relief unless it strips those same rights from the most vulnerable among us. The White House offered its own proposal for a $916 billion bill that completely excludes unemployment benefits, even though joblessness remains unsustainably high and benefits are expiring. There is no debate over funding the military, even as financial aid for Americans remains contentious. The House, in a veto-proof majority supported by both parties, just passed a massive defense bill of more than $700 billion. Congresswoman Ilhan Omar of Minnesota pointed out the hypocrisy, saying, quote, "If Congress can afford to spend $740.5 billion on a Pentagon authorization bill, we can afford stimulus checks for the American people." She added, Congress should focus on responding to the urgent needs of the American people, not passing a bill to appease defense contractors. New research by the group Americans for Tax Fairness and the Institute for Policy Studies on Wednesday concluded that 651 billionaires in the U.S. have seen their wealth increase by a collective $1 trillion since mid-March. That increase in wealth alone is, quote, more than it would cost to send a stimulus check of $3,000 to every one of the roughly 330 million people in America. In news from President Trump's ongoing coup attempt, the United States Supreme Court this week released a unanimous one-sentence rejection of his effort to overturn the results from Pennsylvania. A court that has three Trump appointees has refused to entertain the president's challenges, which, in the words of the New York Times, quote, failed to attract even a whisper of dissent in the court's first ruling on the challenge to the outcome of the election. Still, fear of Trump and his armed backers is rife within the Republican Party, with Kim Ward, the Republican majority leader of the Pennsylvania Senate, saying she was worried about retaliation. Ward said Trump pressured her in a phone call to sign a letter to overturn the election results, and she said that if she didn't sign it, quote, I'd get my house bombed tonight. Republican Senator Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania has been an exception to the rule, bucking his party and declaring Trump's coup efforts, quote, unacceptable. But the Arizona Republican Party retweeted from its official account one Trump supporter's claim that he was, quote, willing to give my life for this fight to support Trump. The at AZGOP retweet daringly said, he is, are you? Meanwhile, the state of Texas has decided to help Trump thwart democracy by joining what has been deemed a long-shot lawsuit against the states of Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, whose voters dared to choose Joe Biden over Trump. In a win for climate activists, the massive New York State Pension Fund, considered one of the world's largest and most influential investors, has just announced it will divest from its fossil fuel investments within 5 years. And finally, the United Nations' High Commissioner for Human Rights, Michelle Bachelet, expressed optimism for a world without Trump as president. She said, quote, for human rights, I think the Biden administration will be much, much, much better. And that does it for our news headlines.